Thankful that he set you free tonight. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise. Be seated this evening. We got special from Brother Anthony and Sister Stephanie Duvall this evening.
And he stood there, blessed.
appreciate that tonight.
Amen.
Amen. If the brothers would come at this time and take up the offering, let's sing this song together. Oh, we find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. But we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. Oh, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, yes, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. Oh, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. But I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. Oh, and that's what's the matter with me. Oh, yes, that's what's the matter with me. Praise God. Oh, that's what's the matter with me. For I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, we find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. But we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, yes, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. One more time. Oh, yes, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. He knows my name. He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. Oh, He knows my name. He knows my every thought, and And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Let's stand. We shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Gonna wear a crown. Wear a crown. Oh, wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, when the battle's over, oh, I said we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Gonna wear a crown. Oh, wear a crown. Gonna wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. One more time. Gonna wear a crown, oh, wear a crown. Gonna wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Wanted to just give you a little update on the church building situation. As I said, I know it's a little warm in here tonight. We turned on the air early here this morning, but it just with these the heat and the size of the building and the AC units they have, I guess it's just not keeping up as well as we would like to. But I'll give you this consolation: it's hotter up here than it is out there, because I'm the farthest from the AC vents in the back there. So. And I'm moving around. At least Brother Layton gets to sit still up here, but I've got to move around and talk and everything, sing and do all the work while he just sits there and smiles. No, I mean, we appreciate it. And Brother Joel's sitting right up there next to the vent, so he's okay. But no, we found out last Friday that they're going to sell this building to another individual, and they've made them a cash offer, and they're moving forward with that. And so I announced it on Sunday, and by Sunday evening, my sister had texted me a place that she had drove by and saw, and it turned out Brother Jimmy and Brother Joel had both went by and looked at the same place that morning. And before service was over, but I hadn't left church yet, Brother Layton got home and started looking online. He texted me a link to the same place. And so we started calling Monday morning, and Sister Claudia Fritzinger's a realtor. She was able to get us in to look at the building, and it's not quite as big as far as square footage as the entire place, but the seating in the congregation is actually more than what we have here, and it's laid out a lot better for our needs. It's off of Silver Street in New Albany, and they had a little thing there, said, do you have a growing church? And just went down, basically described everything that we wanted. And it's got four AC units instead of here's only got two, so praise the Lord. And it's got plenty of room for nursery, Sunday school rooms, and things like that. Actually, where the nursery is located, for some of you sisters that still have small children, is right behind the sanctuary doors. And so we plan to put some mirrored tinting on that to where we can leave those sanctuary doors open and the sisters can see right into the sanctuary. And just a lot of nice features that this church doesn't have that'll be a blessing, a baptistry. So praise the Lord for that. And so just a lot of different things. So I made them an offer on Monday, and she called me Tuesday morning and said that the leadership of the church is excited about the offer, and they're going to put it before their church to vote on this coming Sunday. And if the church votes to do it, then we'll be able to get in the building by June 15th. So praise the Lord. It was available for lease or purchase, so what we've done is we've made an offer to lease the building for three years with the option to purchase if we want to purchase it before then. Yeah, the actual first service wouldn't be the 15th. Brother Layton was saying that would be a Wednesday night. It would be Sunday the 19th if this happens. The way that it looks like the Lord's leading us would be the first service, but we'll have the keys on the 15th and be able to start preparing for cleaning it up and getting it ready for the service on the 19th. So God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. It's a lot newer building, a lot better condition than this one. And so sometimes God knows what he's doing, and we think, Lord, what, why this and why that? And he's already got it planned out way in advance. And the building had only been on the market for 9 days. So maybe God just allowed us to be here long enough for that to come available. But he's got it all in control, I know, tonight. Amen. God bless you this evening. Let's look again at for such a time as this. And we want to pick up on Esther chapter 5 and verse 9. Or sorry, I'm rather for verse 6, where we left off last week. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into your word again tonight, I just ask that you'd be with us. Ask that you would just move on the scene a special way for your people tonight. Lord, we thank you for how, Lord, it looks like you're opening up a place and providing it for us already. Lord, just so quickly, Lord, that this has come about. We know that it, Lord, that you're just moving and leading and guiding, and we just ask you to continue to be with us, be with each one here tonight, Father. Lord, may we just draw a little closer to you, Lord, and as, even though it's a little hot in the building, as Brother Bram says so many times, we're trying to escape a place that's a lot hotter. And Lord, we just, Lord, help us to lay aside every weight, every sin, every thought that would beset us. And Lord, help us tonight, Lord, just to move a little closer into your kingdom, Lord, in deeper depths and higher heights of your word, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. We found last week that Esther had this situation come about in her life, and the man named Haman had went about persecuting the Jews and was going to go and try to destroy all the Jews in the regions that King Ahasuerus was king over. And it was presented to her by her uncle Mordecai that she should go and address this situation to the king and plead for her people. And she was a little scared to do this because without permission from the king, without him calling to do this and go in, if he didn't put out his scepter to accept her, it would mean sudden death for her. And so she goes in a little bit uncertain of the situation, a little bit uncertain of what's going to take place. But she tells Mordecai, she said, if I die, I die. And she knows that she's got to do something to try to step in and be a blessing in this situation. And so as she goes in and she stands there patiently waiting for the king, and he looks and sees her, not only does he reach out his scepter and invite her to come in, but he also tells her, as we just read in this verse, he said, what is it that you want? Even to half the kingdom I'll give you. And so she said, well, I'd like for you and Haman to come to a banquet that I'm going to prepare tomorrow. And they both came, and he said, you know, you go tell Haman to do all that the queen has commanded, even making her own enemies do what she was saying. And she goes in, and he brings her before Haman, and he tells her again in the presence of Haman, whatever you would desire, even to half the kingdom, I'm going to give you. And so she said, well, what I'd like you to do is come back again tomorrow for another banquet. She was waiting on God's time. And she said, I want you and Haman to return again tomorrow to another banquet. And he said, it'll be so. And we pick it up in verse 9. It says, Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and of all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself, and tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Now here is he goes out, and he's so excited, and he's so puffed up and so prideful, because not only was he invited to this banquet with the king and queen, but he was the only one that was chosen to come in. He goes out thinking, oh my, what a big shot that I am. What a guy I must be to have the queen invite me and only the king and her there in her presence. And he goes out so excited and so puffed up, and he sees this guy sitting by the side of the road that didn't believe in worshiping a man. And he goes by, and there's that old guy that won't ever bow to me. He doesn't stand up when I walk by. He doesn't do me any type of honor or things. And it just began, as we would say, to get under his skin a little bit. And he began to get so upset. And he said, well, you know what? He got home and he begins to talk about all these things that he has, all of his riches and all of his popularity and all of his children and his houses and all the things that the king's given him. And he said, but all of it's not worth anything, because this little Jew down here, he won't bow to me when I come into the gate. He won't stand up and give me place. Everybody else in the kingdom, they bow down to me and they do almost a worship to me. They prefer me above everybody else because they know I'm the king's right-hand man. But this guy down here, he just upsets me so much. And his wife says, well, honey, listen, the king's already said you can kill all the Jews. So why don't you just go tomorrow, and why don't you build you a 50-foot gallows, and we're just going to tell the king that what this man's doing, and you just take him out and hang him on the gallows, and that'll be that. Oh, he felt so good. He thought, there's the answer to my problem right there. This guy that's been bothering me and just every time I go by him seems like he gets me down. Here's a solution to my problem. And so he goes about to have this gallows built. And you know, it's funny, many times Satan, he's ever since you was a little bitty boy or a little bitty girl, he's been working, trying to do the very same thing that Haman was doing here. He's been trying to get you into a condition and trying to get you to deny what God has done for you. Remember, we couldn't earn salvation. There was nothing we could do to inherit it. There was no great works that we could do to earn it, to where I could say, well, I did more works than brother so-and-so, so I'm going to get a free pass. There was nothing like that we could do, but God had already paid the price. All we had to do was accept what he had done for us. But since you was a little bitty child, maybe you got in the wrong company, or maybe you ran into something that was a temptation to you, or maybe something was presented to you. Maybe you had a rough upbringing, and Satan was always trying to say, well, look at how everybody else was raised, and look at the blessings that they had, and you was raised this way, and you weren't allowed to have these things, and my other family, maybe they had more money, and they could provide their children these things, but you were raised this way, or you were treated this way, or you were the oddball at school, or you were the oddball at church. I hope I'm preaching to somebody this evening. And he would try to throw those things in your path to try to upset you, to try to discourage you, to try to get you to give up and say, I give up. I'm just going to backslide. He's been after you since you was a child, trying to send you to a hell that was actually created for him and his angels. Amen. Amen. Haman thinks he's building this gallows for Mordecai. And he's doing everything in his power to get Haman on, or to get Mordecai on that gallows. But he doesn't realize that before the foundation of the world, God looked down through time and saw him hanging on those gallows. Satan has tried everything he can to get the bride to give up, to discourage her, to get her to turn back, to get her to turn to the left or to the right, to fall off into some false doctrine over here, or fall off into the world over there, or go back and deny the message and go back to the denominations. He's trying to get you into a devil's hell, but it wasn't created for you. It was created for him. Oh, my. Sometimes we look at things and we begin to get a little bit disturbed because of the path that it seems like it's taking. But many times we forget who's in charge of the winds and the waves and who's guiding the boat. You remember a few weeks ago, we looked at a little offshoot of this story. It didn't have anything to do with really Esther being the queen or King Ahasuerus choosing her as a bride or any of the rest of the story. But at the end of one of the early chapters there, there was a story that was told about how Mordecai, when he sat in the gate there, he heard of two of the king's chamberlains that were going about to take the king's life. And he quickly gets word to Esther and he says, "Now listen, these men are setting it. They've got a conspiracy plan, and they're going to take the king's life. You go in and let him know." And he told him, and they were taken out and hanged. But yet, he didn't get a pat on the shoulder for it. He didn't get paraded around the city. He didn't get to say, "Come up here and sit on the throne with me," or anything like that. And no doubt, Mordecai wondered for years. "Here, I've done all that I can, tried to save the king's life, instructed Esther so that she could be his queen. I've done all these things in service for the king, and I've done everything I know how to do. But yet now all this lot has fallen upon me and my people, that the king has set forth this decree to take our lives, and yet I'm the very one that spoke up and saved his life." But God's timing is always perfect. And sometimes, you remember Brother Layton and them sing the song, "Even when he was 4 days late, he was right on time." When he came to the grave of Lazarus. Sometimes he lets us get in situations where it seems like it's just the darkest of hour. But Brother Bram said, that's when Jesus comes along. Amen. Now you think about it. This has been years since Esther has been made queen. As we looked at it a few weeks ago, how that the historians and the theologians and commentators and great men like that have studied this said that this time and place here, that this is persecution of the Jews is taking place, was several years after Esther has been made queen. And so this Mordecai coming on the scene to deliver the king out of this plot that was planned against him, time has passed now several years, and the king hasn't ever even really taken it to thought again. But on the very night that Mordecai is going to be hung the next day, and Haman goes out and makes the gallows, it says in chapter 6, verse 1, on that night... It didn't happen 6 months before or 6 months after when he was already dead and gone. But on that night, amen, God's timepiece moves perfect. Amen. The wheels are moving just right if we can just get in the turn. Yes. Let me go back here a minute before you read ahead of me. You remember a while back we told a story out of the book of Kings there, where Elisha had went in and the widow woman there, that she had a son and he had died, and Elisha goes in and prays for him and raises the son up. And why, we all know this story, we're very familiar with it. But a story that many times we don't remember is that years later, when the famine had come to the land, the Shunammite woman and her son, the things had got bad, and they had left the country for a little while. And when they come back to the country, homesteaders had come in on their land, and they had set up and they had tried to take over her land, and they had tried to take over everything that she had, all of her properties, all of her houses, all of her barns, everything that she had. And so when she returns back, this is years later after the little boy has been raised, she goes before the king to ask him, "Can I have the property back that these people have taken from me while I've been gone. They've moved in, and Brother Branham, you know, talks about the old the Western term of squatters moving in on your land. If you would leave, they would come in and stay on your land, and you know, as they say, possession is 9/10 of the law. A lot of times, if they had lived there long enough and you came back because they had been there and had bettered the place or things like that, the law would say, well, you've neglected the place for all these years. These people have came in and taken care of it. We're going to give it to you. So squatters had moved in on her land, and she goes before the king to petition for him to give it back to her, the original deed owner. And as she's walking in, she gets in line maybe of all the people that's going to talk to the king that day. And it just so happens that the king had called for Gehazi to come and sit in his chamber that day. And he begins to ask Gehazi, tell me some of the mighty works that the prophet Elisha did. And of all the hundreds of stories that he could have told, being in the prayer lines with Elisha and seeing all the things that had taken place, and how that the oil had been restored to the widow woman there, and how that the lepers had been cleansed, and how that he had seen an axe float, and all the different miracles that he had seen, how he had seen him speak and there not be any rain, and then him see a little cloud and say, oh, but I hear the sound of abundance of rain, and how he even outran the king's chariot, all the testimonies that Gehazi could have shared. But he begins to tell about one time that there was a lady that had built a house for him in the land of Shunem, and how that her little boy had died, and how that she ran before and tried to get the prophet to come and pray, and he sent the staff on with Gehazi, but she wasn't depending on the staff. She was depending on the anointing that was on the prophet, and how he came back, and how life was given back into the child's life. And Gehazi looked, she said, oh, there's the woman right now. Now, he could have told him that story 6 months before, or God could have laid on his heart 100 other testimonies to share, but right at the right place, at the right time, at the exact moment she needed something from the king was reminded of something that had taken place supernaturally for her, and he was in the mindset, in a position to give her what she wanted. I hope you realize tonight that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in a mindset and in a position to give his bride what she wants. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered to him, there's nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Now you talk about getting down to the wire. As we would say, this is getting down to the nitty gritty, where here comes Haman, and he comes storming up to the king's palace, and he's on a mission. He's going to rid himself of this man once and for all. This man has caused him nothing but grief and woe, and he's tried every way he can to get this man killed. And now his wife has put a thought in his mind that, oh, if I can just go hang this man on the gallows, I'll be through with it. And he comes walking up into the outer courts there, and he's getting ready to knock on the door. And the king says, wait a minute. Stop, pause the story a minute. You said this about Mordecai. Did I ever do anything for him? He saved my life. Did we send him a cake or a birthday present, or did we give him a house or promote him in his job, or did we do anything for this man? The servant said, we haven't done anything. And he said, why don't you go out and see who's in the court? I need to send a messenger to Mordecai. And just about the time they're going to open the door opens, and there's Mordecai, Haman fell through the door as they opened it. They said, oh, here's the man we can send. Here's the man we can send. You talk about God's timing. Brother Branham said it this way in The Power of God in 1955. He said, the greatest experiences of my life is when I come up against a mountain that I can't get over it, under it, around it, and just stand still, and God will move the thing back. And he will move no matter how dark the cloud is, Faith pierces it yonder with an eye that looks beyond anything that the devil can set before you, because God is our victory. He said, amen. Now, I'll tell you, I was going to preach this tonight no matter what happened, but it's a little easier to preach it now that things have went the way they have, because God's timing is perfect. But I already had most of these notes. I was going to preach it anyhow, believing that he would bring it to pass anyhow. But God's timing's always just right, isn't it? Brother Morse said he was feeling down one time, my uncle from Liberty, Kentucky. He was just feeling down in the dumps. And he said he was driving along in his van there one day and just feeling, you know, you ever feel like the whole world was against you and just feeling down and out? And he said there was a little guy walking down the side of the road there, hitchhiking. Is it Johnny Sapp? Is that the guy's name? His name was Johnny Sapp, and he was just kind of a bum around town. And he was walking along there on the side of the road, and Brother Moore stopped and picked him up. And Johnny used to get on the radio some, I think, and sing. And he said, Johnny, he said, why don't you sing me a song while we're driving along here? He said, oh, I like to sing, Brother Morse. And he let loose and he began to sing, he'll be there on time, he'll be there on time. May not come when you think he will, but he'll be there on time. He said, I begin to feel a little better. Amen. God's going to be there right on time. You might be facing circumstances in your home. You might be facing circumstances on your job or at your school. Maybe nobody else even knows about them. Maybe trials have been fighting you and following you. And maybe Satan's been trying to persecute you and lie to you every step of the way. But my Jesus will be there right on time. Amen. Amen. You say, nobody even knows, Brother Nathan, what I'm going through. Oh, yes, somebody knows. He knows your name. He knows your every thought. He knows each tear you've cried, and he hears you when you call. You remember we just sang it. And the servant said unto him, verse 5, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in. Now you remember, he's got this in his mind. I'm going to ask permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows. And I'm so close of friends with the king, he's going to allow it. And so Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? Now there's something about it. When somebody asks you something and you think they're talking about you. Oh, if you were going to buy a car, Brother Nathan, what type of car would you buy? Oh, Brother Nathan, if somebody was to give you a birthday present, what type of birthday present would you want? And you think maybe they're talking about you, and maybe it's just a generalized question. But when they begin to ask you something specifically, you know, what do you think is the best phone or the best computer? Or what do you think is, you know, what type of house, you know, would you want if you were going to build it? Then you begin to get very specific, because if you think it's talking about you, you think, oh my, well, let's see, I'd like to have this and I'd like to have that. And maybe this around it, a little bit of that. And you begin to get very detailed where, yes, what do you think somebody else, oh, he likes a Honda or, you know, or whatever it would be. But when it's something about you, you begin to get very specific. And so Haman, the king, asked him, he said, if I was going to do honor to somebody, what type of honor do you think the man that the king delighted in, what type of honor should he have? And Haman begins to think, oh my, I can just see it now. And he begins to picture himself riding on the king's horse with the king's crown and the king's robe on him. And Haman, let me read you this quote first. He says, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Brother Bram says it this way, and we've seen his star and have come to worship him in 1963. He said, God knows how to do things. He'll even make the works of the enemy praise him. When we think sometimes it's all we got to do this and do that to make the clock tick just right, God's timepiece is ticking perfectly, and Jesus will be here right on time. He won't be 1 second behind. Everything will happen just exactly the way God said it would be. Oh, I want you to think about this tonight. He said he'll even make the works of the enemy praise him. Even the things that Satan is trying to do out here to try to disturb you or try to upset you. Maybe he's placed somebody on your job that has just been tormenting you. Or maybe there's somebody in your family that there's been trouble with. Or maybe there's somebody in your neighborhood that's just driving you crazy. Whatever it would be, God is going to make that testify of how good that he is. You say, oh, I've been awful sick, Brother Nathan. I've been going through this. I've been going through that. God is going to make the devil testify to him. Brother Bram said, even our currency testifies of God. Even on the dollar bill, in God we trust. And the all-seeing eye over the pyramid. They might be, the country may be gone, but even the currency still testifies of him. Amen. Every time they look at their calendar, it still testifies of him. Because we go off of his birth date, you remember. Even our calendars. He'll even make the works of the enemy praise him. Verse 7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most notable princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the city, the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And he sits back and he waits. He thinks, oh my, the king's getting ready to ride me through the streets and send a messenger before me. No, you're getting ready to be the messenger, Haman. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Even made his enemy testify for him. Said, oh, how can we bless him? Oh, well, let's see. Let's do this and this and this. Brother Jimmy, I'm going to use you for an example tonight. You come up here, brother. Can you imagine? Me and Brother Jimmy is close enough I can use him for this. But can you imagine if me and him, if he had just done everything in the world to annoy me, and I couldn't even hardly look at him, and the king comes and he says, now you take this man. And you put a crown on his head, and you put a robe on him, and you put him up on the horse, and I want you to walk through the city before him and proclaim, thus shall be done to the man whom the king honoreth. And I want you to go through all the streets, not just out here on the main street, but go through the streets of the city, and I want you to walk before his horse. Here he wanted this man to bow before him, and now he's walking before his horse. And say, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king honoreth. Oh, God has a way of doing things. What shall be done unto the man whom the king honoreth, delighteth to honor? I'll tell you a few things that'll be done. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What will happen to the man in whom the king delighteth? Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Amen. These are the things that's going to happen to the man and woman that the Lord delights in. Reminds me of a story one time in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. There was a boy that had ran away from home, and he'd gotten all kinds of trouble. He went ahead and asked for his father's inheritance up front, and he went and blew the inheritance on sin and things of the world. And then when he was broke, he sat there, didn't have any choice but to go and to work for an old pig farmer, sitting in the slop with the pigs, trying to help them. And he got to looking around one day, and he thought, you know what? Even my father's servants have it better than this. And I'm not worthy to be his son, but maybe I can go back and be a servant. St. Luke chapter 15, verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Oh, I hope we can begin to be merry tonight, because this is what God's going to do to the man and woman that he honors to delight in. And maybe Satan has tried to persecute you. Maybe he's tried to torment you your whole life. Maybe you've been poor. Maybe you've been distraught. Maybe you've been kicked about from place to place. Maybe Satan has thrown every stumbling block he can in your path, and he's trying to tell you you're not worthy. You're never going to make it. You're never going to amount to anything. And God looks and he says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Take my ring and put it on his hand. Take some new shoes and put it on his feet. Kill the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry, because this is my son, or this is my daughter. And they were out in the world, and they were out in false doctrine, and they were out in all kinds of things, but they've come home again. Oh my, you say, I'm not worthy. Neither was this boy, but his father didn't care. He was just happy to see him come home.
Amen.
Verse 11, then took Haman the apparel and the horse. Can you imagine how distraught he must have been, how downtrodden? Here he goes with the king's robe and the king's crown. Come here, Mordecai. We need to have a talk. Mordecai thought, oh, good Lord, what is it? I hear them nailing on some gallows out there. He said, the king's asked me to do something for you. Here, just sit right there. Let me make sure. Yeah, okay, there, that fits you just right. Here, wait, let me put this around your neck. He was wanting to put something else around his neck a few minutes before. He was planning on putting a rope around his neck, but now he takes the king's robe and puts it around his neck, and he fastens it. That fit okay? Yes, sir. Well, here comes some men bringing a big giant steed up there, prancing, walking the king's horse. Walks him up there. Here, Mordecai, let me help you. Get up on the horse. You get situated. You comfortable. All right. All right. Let's go. Just follow me. Here's the man. Anybody the king delights in, this is how he's going to be treated. You can imagine how downtrodden he was. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. They begin to catch a little glimpse of the picture here of what's taken place. Here Mordecai, or Haman rather, has set his whole goals and his whole ambitions to destroy the Jews because of this one man that he despised. And now the very man that he had set this in motion because of, the king has decided to honor and put in a place of honor. And his family, his friends begin to tell him, I think your plan's not going to work. I think there's a problem with the picture here, because the very man you want to destroy, now the king is wanting to honor, and he surely won't fall before you, but you're going to fall before him. Satan has made his boast for generations, for hundreds, for thousands of years. He's made his boast. Brother Branham said when he killed David, he said, I thought I had him when I killed David. When he killed Daniel, he said, I thought I had him when I killed Daniel. And on down through Isaiah, Moses, different ones that he killed trying to wipe out the seed of Christ and trying to wipe out his children. And he said, but one day when Jesus died there on the cross, he said, oh, I've got him now. But a few hours later, the door to hell was kicked in, and Jesus said, you know those keys that you've been holding, death, hell, and the grave? I've come to take back my title deed. I have the book of redemption, and I'm going to take the key to death, hell, and the grave. You don't have any power anymore, and I'm going to take all that back. Oh, Satan has boasted so much, but he won't prevail over you. But Brother Branham said it this way in the Church Age book. He said, the bride, if she can ever, the true church, really get the idea of the two spirits working in the framework of the church, the Antichrist and the true spirit of Christ, and if she can discern and withstand that Antichrist spirit, he said, not only will the gates of hell not prevail over her, but she will prevail over them. Amen. So Satan, you're not going to prevail over the bride, but you'll surely fall before her. Oh, we've read the end of the book and we know we win. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Everything's been set in motion. This law has been made that the Jews will be killed on a certain date. The king can't change that law. Everything is set in motion. Haman has done everything he can to make sure these people are destroyed. And Esther's getting ready to petition before the king for her people. Oh, what's going to happen? Come back next week. Same time, same channel. My dad used to listen to those old Lone Ranger radio shows when he was a kid, you know, and they'd have him hanging on the side of a cliff, and then you'd have to tune in next week to hear the rest of the radio show. So I think most of you know how the story goes, but maybe with some quotes and some anointing, we can bring it some more light to it next week with the help of the Lord. Amen. If the musicians would come this evening, maybe Satan has tried to put things in motion in your life to try to hinder you. Maybe he's tried to prevent you. Maybe he tried to prevent you from coming to church tonight. Maybe he's tried to hinder you from serving the Lord. Maybe he's tried to discourage you any way that he can, but he won't prevail over you. But by the grace of God, we will prevail over him. Amen. God bless you this evening. Let's sing this together. Amen. Let's let Esther testify a little bit tonight. This isn't exactly the way the song goes, but I rewrote a little bit for Esther. Oh, so many times I questioned these certain circumstances. So many things I could not understand. Haman's decree brought trials. My weakness blurred my vision. That's when my frustration got so out of hand. Oh, but then I was reminded, God's people have never been forsaken. Church, we've never had to stand one test alone. And when I looked at all our victories, oh, his spirit rose up in me. You see, it's through the fire our weakness is made strong. Help me sing it tonight. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, and your old adversary says, give in, righteous, hold on, 'cause our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. What about it, Esther? Oh, I knew within myself we all would have surely perished. But when we trust the mighty hand of God, he'll shield the flames again. Cause he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Oh, just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision and your adversary says, give in, just hold on, 'cause our Lord will show up. Oh, he will take Oh, what have you been through, Esther? Why don't you testify about it? Oh, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that your heels would not be hard to climb. And he never offered our victories without fire.
little bride, just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision and your old adversary says give in, just hold on, 'cause our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Let's sing it again together. Oh, he never promised that your cross would not get heavy, that your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered your victories without fighting, but he said, help, it's gonna come right on time. So you just remember when you're standing in some valley of decision and your old adversary says, why don't you just quit giving? Oh, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Lord, I give you praise. 'Cause you are my life. Oh, you're my truth. You're my way. Lord, I bless your name. Oh, Lord, I bless your name. Oh, let's sing this verse together. Some midnight hour, oh, maybe you will find. Oh, maybe Haman built a gallows. Oh, maybe he's got you to be the next in line. But you just reach out in praise. Whatever the situation tonight, you can defy those chains. Oh, I know they are gonna fall. Stand and worship you tonight. I bless your name. Oh, Father God, we come to bless your name. I give you honor. Yes, Lord. I give you praise. For you are. You're in a prison. Or maybe in your mind. Just reach out and praise. God's got it all in control. Oh, you can defy those chains. Oh, I know they. God, we come tonight just to bless your name. I give you honor. Oh, I give you all the praise. You are.
Let's just bless His name together tonight. Oh, I bless. All sing it to Him. We worship You, Jehovah. We give You honor. We want to give You all the praise. Lord, You're my life, truth, the way. I bless Your Heavenly Father. Lord, we come tonight for no other purpose, Lord, but to bless Your name, to worship You, to serve You, Father. Lord, we come before You tonight. Lord, we're so unworthy, Father, of all the blessings that You've given us. Lord, You've done so much for us, Lord. How we thank You. Lord, how we see You moving among Your people. Lord, how we see so many testimonies coming back from different families, Lord, where prayer's been answered, where the sick has been healed, where the lost have been found, where so many things that You've done for Your people, Father, testimony after testimony of Your grace and Your power and Your love towards us, Father. Lord, how we thank You, Lord, because it seems as though You've put things in motion to provide us another place so quickly, Father. I thank You, Lord. What a blessing it is. What an encouragement it is to know, Lord, that You've got it all in control. Lord, that You're working on both ends of the line, that You knew where we'd be, Lord, before we ever got here, Father, that You knew what the situation would be. You were already working it for our good and planning ahead for us, Father. Not just in this situation, Lord, but in each life, in each family, Lord. Lord, where they're at now spiritually, they can look back down the road and see where they've come from and see how it was Your guiding hand upon them, leading them and guiding them each step of the way. Many times when they had stumbled and fallen, maybe they didn't deserve Your grace. Lord, I know many times I didn't. There's nothing I could do. No way that I could earn Your grace. Nothing I could do to merit it. No works that I could bring before You. All my righteousness would be as filthy rags in Your eyes, Father. But Lord, You gave Your grace to us. Unmerited grace, Father. We didn't do anything to deserve it. But You reached down and picked us up out of the miry clay. Lord, You healed us when we were sick. You saved us when we were lost. You filled us when we were empty. Oh, how our cup runs over tonight, Father. What more can we do, Father? We don't know anything else that we can do, Father, but just to come and bless Your name, to give You glory for all that You've done, all that You're continuing to do, and all that we believe You'll do in the future, Father. Lord, You're a present tense God. You're here for Your people tonight. Lord, if there's needs, may You minister to those needs tonight, I pray, Father. Jehovah Jireh, You're my provider. Oh, You are more than enough. You believe that tonight? Yes, Lord, Jehovah Rapha. Oh, You're my healer, and by Your stripes I've been set free. Oh. Bless you tonight. Amen. It's been good to be in His presence. Amen. Sister Stephanie came up to testify. She had found a spot a while back that they were concerned about, and was going to go to the doctor about it, but they never went to the doctor. She came up for prayer, and it's completely gone. So praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's a healer.
Amen.
Amen. He's still here tonight to heal. Sister Bickley, I'm not a prophet. When I prayed for you, I got so weak, I about thought I was going to pass out. I believe God did something for you. That doesn't happen very often, but amen. I believe there's going to be a testimony come forth from it. Amen. God's an on-time God, isn't He? I feel Him here tonight. He's here tonight, friends. If you have a need of something, He's here tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, I tell you, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Oh, I tell you, He's an on-time God.
David said, let everything that hath breath. Oh, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Church, I want to praise Him in the morning, then praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel. Oh, why don't you take out your handkerchief or songbook and let's just praise Him tonight. Oh, yes, I feel like praising. Praise You tonight, Lord. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Hallelujah. I want to praise Him in the morning. Gonna praise Him all day long. Oh, if you don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out in your stead. Oh, let's praise Him tonight. Oh, well, friends, why don't you praise the Lord while we have this chance? Oh, I feel Him here tonight. Oh, yes, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Oh, I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. Gonna praise Him. Oh, hallelujah, I feel like praising Him. Oh, church, I feel. Oh, we can never praise Him enough. Oh, yes, I feel like praising Him. I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. Gonna praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising Him. And I will praise. Yes, Father, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, oh,
I'm still gonna praise my Lord. Down.
Share. But when